Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Some young seamen, they die in.
And as on and the foredeck they lay.
Do around him, his comrades come sighing.
These last mournful words, he did say.
Wrap me up in my tarpaulin jacket. And say a poor duffer's send for six seamen to carry me.
With steps mournful, solemn, and slow. This is the Savage Nation. But since talk radio is merely entertainment and has no bearing upon the geniuses from Harvard and Yale, the geniuses who run America, such as Elena Kagan from Harvard, a place now that is so supreme and elite, that has Sex Week at Yale, for example, in which the so-called university invites porn stars and bondage and leather fetishists to lecture. Harvard, of course, the great home of Obama, And to Elena Kagan, is home to fabulous black scholars like Charles Ogletree, who advocates reparations for slavery. And then, of course, Harvard has the wonderful Professor Gates, who caused quite a race-baiting stir last year, as you remember, with the white cop in which President Obama took Gates aside without knowing all the facts. Oh, yes, indeed. Wonderful universities. And, of course, there are other wonderful radicals at Harvard, such as black professor Cornel West, wonderful genius. And, of course, Kagan comes from that background, and she was a chief proponent of banning military recruiters from Harvard because of the military's don't ask, don't tell policy towards gays. So, therefore, since the country is in the hands of geniuses from Harvard and geniuses from Yale, we in talk radio, although I have a real PhD and although I've really written 25 books, and though I'm a real scholar, hey, I'll just sing Tarpaulin Jacket. So play the music again on the Savage Nation.
They die in.
Can you move it up to another stanza here?
Now
let's change the tune. Let's go to 15 Men and a Bottle of Rum. Let's give the elites a little
on a dead man's chest.
Yo ho ho and a bottle of rum.
Drink and the devil had done for the rest.
Yo ho ho and a bottle of rum.
Bottle of rum.
Mate was fixed by the bosun's pike.
Bosun brained by a marlin's.
The cookie's throat was marked with ice.
It had been gripped by fingers ten.
There they lay, all good dead men.
Break a day in a boozing ken.
Yo ho ho and a bottle of rum. See, we can sing and we can entertain, because we're merely the peons down below the wonderful geniuses like Elena Kagan, a woman who has such a sterling background, who comes from such splendid parents, who has always wished for the day that socialism would be introduced to America, that we, the others in the sphere of ideas, are reduced to mere singing and dancing and drinking and laughing. Let the elites run America. They are doing such a fabulous job, as you know, helping each other to the till, the public till, bailing out each other in the banks from Harvard, bailing each other out in the courts from Yale, bailing each other out when caught in plagiarisms. It doesn't matter. So we the people should just sing along. So ladies and gentlemen, let's now sing along to another wonderful tune on the Savage Nation. Let's pick another one here. We did Tarpaulin Jacket. Have we done Ben Backstay? No, not yet. Have we
Ben
done
Backstay
15 minutes?
Was our bosun and a merry, merry
no,
boy.
I don't like that. Turn that off. I really do like Tarpaulin Jacket, if you don't mind, but you got to bring it up to the middle already. Anywhere in the middle. Any of the middle stanzas, and I'll sing. By the way, David Cameron, the so-called conservative, is the new British prime minister, and that foul, evil wind of socialism, labor, is gone. That horrible, dark cloud of socialism is gone from England. not. You see, what you don't know is that although Mr. Cameron is a conservative from the Tory party, he's not truly a conservative nor truly from the Tory party. He has a background in public relations, and he has to share power with Lib Dem, Nick Clegg. So the new coalition of so-called Tory, which is sort of like the Arizona Republicans under McCain, think Republican when you say Tory. Now, of course, the communists in the American media would have you believe that he is a conservative. Everyone's sending me emails today. I'm like, oh, congratulations, Michael. You're off the list. They're going to take you off the list. As you well know, I'm still banned in England. I still can't travel to England, nor can you. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. How come it is that there are no people in the so-called government in high places who went to any universities other than Yale and Harvard? How come Yale and Harvard have become cesspools of deviance and perversion and anti-Americanism? How come there are no university appointments from places like Eureka College, where Ronald Reagan went? How come there are no people from the University of California at Berkeley, where I obtained my doctorate? How come there are no people from the University of Georgia or the University of Texas or the University of Oklahoma? How come there are no people who have any background in the military? How come there are no people who represent the people in the United States of American elite government? How is it possible that we fall into this level that a woman named Elena Kagan, who is a hardcore radical socialist of the lowest order, you know, think of that woman Samuels. You remember Lynn Samuels, the one who went to jail for representing a terrorist? Let me tell you something. Elena Kagan and Lynn Samuels are like blood brothers, spiritually, intellectually, socially, philosophically, politically, they're identical. The only difference is that Kagan played her cards right, and she hid most of her politics most of her life. Now, the vermin in the media tell you that Kagan has no paper trail. Lies, lies, and more lies. She wrote a paper while at Chicago Law School entitled Regulation of Hate Speech and Pornography. In this article, she advocated the severe curtailment of freedom of speech in the United States. Now, we're talking about that wonderful, good-looking woman named Kagan, the woman that brings a feeling of love and kindness towards women around the world just looking at her. But let's put aside her looks. You know, sometimes looks don't belie the actual philosophy of the person. Sometimes a person's looks actually tell you what they think. So she wrote a paper where she says, given we live in a society marred by racial and gender inequality, whatever that means, and she says that certain forms of speech perpetuate and promote this inequality, and that the uncoerced disappearance of such speech would be cause for great elation, close quote. That's Elena Kagan, fascist in her heart, communist, Marxist, fascist in her core. Now, what do you think of when you hear that word, when she says the uncoerced disappearance of speech that offends racial or promotes racial and gender inequality? What does she mean by the uncoerced disappearance of such speech? What do you think of a woman like that and the media covering up for her saying there's no paper trail? What do you think of when you hear of the word disappearance of such speech? Someone in a Soviet country being disappeared by the secret police in the middle of the night? Is that what Elena Kagan wants to do to our freedom of speech? Not to moderate the speech, not to temper the speech, but to disappear it? Look, Obama got away with murder. He ran as a centrist when he was a naked Marxist. He's trying to pull a twofer on us. He's trying to push through a radical feminist who is hiding her agenda with a little help from her friends in the media. Don't let it happen. This is a paper trail, and it's all red, and it all goes back to that little kitchen in Brooklyn where she was born. Now, I said yesterday, many of you don't have the imagination to even understand what's going on in the country. But let's put it the other way for those of you who are not capable of understanding who Obama is or who Elena Kagan is. Imagine now if a conservative president who had run as a centrist suddenly appointed someone to the Supreme Court who had direct ties to the far-right fringe organizations, what would be happening right now? The media would be in a frenzy. Now, imagine further if that same far-right-wing nominee for the Supreme Court had years ago advocated the establishment of a fascist dictatorship in America in the 1930s. Or imagine that this appointee had said that anyone who disagreed with that fascist dictatorship should be disappeared. What would the vermin in the media be saying today? And yet this is exactly what has happened. The only difference is that both Obama and Elena Kagan are on the opposite end of the fascist spectrum. But let me tell you something. It doesn't matter whether you're a left-wing fascist or a right-wing fascist. They're extremists. Don't you understand that? And the more we learn about Elena Kagan, the more we understand that she is an extremist whose views are so out of balance that she cannot be allowed to become the next justice of the Supreme Court. Now, although I didn't go to Harvard, and although I didn't go to Yale, I do have three graduate degrees, including a PhD from the great University of California at Berkeley, in a real degree, by the way. And I certainly can do things like reason, and I certainly know a little bit about history, and I know enough about communism and socialism to warn you that we're far from free of this threat. Today, I must tell you, I had a photographer over at my studio taking some pictures for my new book cover. He happens to have emigrated here from a Soviet satellite nation. And he says he has many friends who he knows in the Bay Area of San Francisco who constantly tell him about socialism and how wonderful socialism is if only it was given a chance. And he looks at them puzzlingly like they're just fools. He says all they know is what they've read in books. They haven't any idea what socialism is. I've lived it. There were death camps. There were labor camps. There was rationing. There was no food. There was no medical care. There was secret police everywhere. He said that's the true face of socialism. And he said Obama is a naked socialist. So my friends, since my words account for nothing in the new fascist dictatorship of Obama land, let's sing together Tarpaulin Jacket on the Savage Nation. Now can we pull up another stanza?
And where have a marauding go. And heaping together measures. Drink a health to this drunkard below.
Wrap me up in my tarpaulin jacket.
And say a poor duffer's name low. Send for six salty seamen to carry me. With steps scornful, solemn, and slow.
And let them send for two holy stones.
Place them at head and at toe.
And on them engrave this inscription. Here lies this poor duffer below. Wrap me up in my tarpaulin jacket. And say a poor duffer's lay low. Send for six salty seamen to carry me.
With steps mournful, solemn, and slow.
Now, of course, the tarpaulin jacket we are referring to is the tarpaulin jacket that is silently being put around the U.S. Constitution by Barack Hussein Obama and his friends from Harvard and Yale, and I'll be back.
Savage.
Bones, send him off to Davy Jones of rum and gold and wenches galore.
Wenches galore. I like the wenches galore part. Those pirates knew how to live. Rum and gold and women bold. That's what it is.
Bones, Billy Bones. Good morning to you, Brother Billy. The chest that you're laying on, I've sailed the sea for you, and I and Flint did agree to divvy the contents up into three golden jewels, Billy Bones, Billy Bones.
And now the refrain.
Bones, Billy Bones. Send him off to Davy Jones
of rum and gold and wenches bold. I love the wenches bold. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Hell's Angels at Sea.
Good morning to you, Billy.
You know, I noticed that although Obama is considered brilliant and transformational, he never published anything as first black president of the Harvard Law Review. How is that possible? How could a man who's never published anything, as a matter of fact, other than a book written by William Ayers, terrorist, be called brilliant and transformational? I guess that's why we have to leave the country to the elites, because they know how to pick him. I mean, here he picked Elena Kagan. Another genius, another great elite genius, well known for her background. She was named dean of an Ivy League law school after only 4 years on its faculty, and that was, of course, because of her gender orientation, not because of her genius. She has never been a judge, never argued a case in court prior to being named Solicitor General last year, but because of her gender orientation and her distinguished background. She's now being ushered onto the Supreme Court. And of course, you're going to hear nothing of any of this from the Republicans, you know, the conservatives. Oh, no, they're going to be like Sharon Golightly around her. I can guarantee you they'll put on their best pinafores. You wait and see how old Mr. Utah will come out in his best petticoats during those hearings. I can't wait to hear that one. But what's his name, that guy from Utah, the mortician? Hatch, the one who gave us Ruth Bader Ginsburg, another prize humanity. All right, so there it is. Will David Cameron, the new British Prime Minister, free Michael Savage? Are you upset you haven't heard more criticism of Obama's radical socialist court nominee, Elena Kagan, from Senate Republicans? If you could ask Kagan one question or confirmation hearing, what would it be? Will the U.S. end up paying for Europe's trillion-dollar bailout of the bums in Greece? If you're Jewish and voted for Obama, have you changed your mind about him and why? Not bad questions, Mike. Not bad questions, Michael. So here we are. Diversity, diversity, diversity. Perversity, perversity, perversity. Diversity is perversity. You understand it's a code word. Well, that's how us non-elites see the world. You know, you gotta give us a break. Just think of yourself as a country ruled by some geniuses of a whole different caliber than you. I mean, just take a look at Elena Kagan. You know that she's a woman far above anyone you've ever met. A woman, although she may look like your grandmother in a fish market on Rivington Street in Manhattan selling fish, she is anything but a grandmother from Poland selling fish on Rivington Street in the Essex Street Market. This is a woman distinguished in so many ways that she's only qualified for the Supreme Court. New York WOR Anthony, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Michael. Michael.
Yes, make your point already. Yes, 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 1,000 times yes.
I'm extremely scared of this nomination of Ms. Kagan putting incompetent people again and again, and the Obama administration just railroading incompetent people into power.
Right. How come these incompetents are all left-wing radicals, including radicals that openly espouse Maoism or Marxism? They're not just radicals. They're not just leftists. They're not just Democrats. They're all communists. Do you understand that at all?
Yes.
Thank you. You get a star on your report card.
Savage.
During the last year, my long-standing appreciation by upholding the rule of law, long-standing to walk into the highest court in this country, law a lawyer can perform,
law.
Great law schools, all of
law.
Us, law, I am proud of what all of us accomplished there, long-standing law schools, law, I've had the simple joy of teaching, all of us, but because law matters. Law, joy, law, all of us, joy, law, all of us, law, joy, law.
Just what America needs is another radical communist lawyer from the lower dregs of society. I mean, the Lower East Side, which is an immediate springboard right into Harvard. If you have a particular leftist bent, then you can add two and two. You go right to Harvard. So here it is. She says the uncoerced disappearance of such speech would be great. Cause for great elation, and yet the Putzers are saying she's a great supporter of the First Amendment. Is a woman who wrote an article on regulation of hate speech and pornography, and she says we live in a society marred by racial and gender inequality, and that certain forms of speech perpetuate and promote this inequality, and that the uncoerced disappearance of such speech would be cause for great elation. So let's put it to you this way. Let's say you hate my politics, and you're glad I was banned in Britain, because in your heart you're a fascist. You hold yourself up as a progressive, but if you actually looked at yourself in the mirror long enough, what you'd see is a Nazi, sort of like the Dr. Strangelove arm would try to be rising up in a Hitler salute, but you don't know that. You tell yourself you're a good person, yet you cheered because my words were offensive to some of the left-wing radicals in England. I was banned primarily because they wanted to balance the list with someone who was not a Muslim. They put me on the list, and you did nothing about it. So what would happen is this. Kagan would go along with what Brown did to me here in America, because she said that certain forms of speech perpetuate and promote things that she doesn't like, and that the uncoerced disappearance of such speech would be cause for great elation. So she would put others on a list who could no longer speak in America. It would not just be Michael Savage. Oh, at first it might be others you don't like, such as, I won't name them, but you could pretty much figure who they might be, who would be banned from saying certain things about You know which protected groups in particular, right? Do I have to name them? Do I have to spell them out? You know who the sacred cows are in America who no one can say anything about. And then suddenly, just like in all revolutions, this hate from the left would spill beyond their natural enemies and suddenly would be used to curtail their own allies, along the lines of what Fidel Castro did to his fellow revolutionaries shortly after taking power, some of whom were executed, others put in prison for 30 years, along the lines of what Sean Penn's friend Hugo Chavez is doing to a former general who fought with him in his revolution, giving him 8 years under false charges. And that's, of course, what happens when you have a dictatorship, whether it comes from the right or the left. So there it is. There it is. And do you think you're going to get any of this? I don't know. I doubt it. I'm not surprised by what Obama's doing. The problem here is that this big sis is totally unqualified to be a Supreme Court justice. This big sis is unqualified. The second problem is she may just be a trial balloon. I believe that Obama knows that she's going to be rejected first by the American blogosphere, of which I'm a part in a sense, the talko blogosphere, the blogo talkosphere, not to be confused with Blagojevich, but the blogo talkosphere. So the first line of defense against these people is the blogo talkosphere or the talko blogosphere. He knows that she's then going to be grilled so strongly that they'll withdraw her name. So she's not so much a trial balloon. He knows she's going to be rejected before she even gets to the hearings. What he's then going to do is bring up someone who is even more radical than Elena Kagan. Whether you know it or not, Elena Kagan, as communistic as she is rejected by most of the left for not being enough of a fascist. She's not fascistic enough for them. They actually reject her for not being a tougher left winger. So what Obama's going to do, his handlers, Rahm Emanuel, never underestimate the son of an Israeli revolutionary. Rahm Emanuel, the man you well know from the towel in the locker room, and David Axelrod, the man from the same background as Elena Kagan, the same oil cloth, the same seltzer bottles, the same posters of Trotsky on the living room wall, or they didn't have mobiles in those days over the crib. They had pictures of Marx and Trotsky dancing they had him painted on the ceiling of the crib. Those people are very smart. They're very, very dangerously smart. I believe that they're running Kagan up the flagpole to have her rejected so they could say, damn those Republicans, damn those right-wingers in the media. We're going to withdraw this wonderful person, even though she's so qualified. They're so mean and so intolerant. So here's our next choice. The next choice will be probably more radical and even less qualified than Elena Kagan. And then the Republicans will jump over themselves to accept the next one. That's my theory. That's my theory. Dee Dee in New York, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael. I agree with you on most things, but you a couple times over the last couple of weeks you've been talking about, you sporadically talked about or touched upon pornography. And you're really not correct in what you're saying. Pornography is not protected speech. It's not protected by the First Amendment. The pornography industry is actually an illegal industry. And if the obscenity laws had been enforced, the war against pornography ended when Bill Clinton took office.
Wait a minute. When have I ever supported pornography?
You've said that pornography is protected speech. A couple of weeks ago, you said, look at Larry Flint.
No, you must be listening to somebody else's show. You're probably a spokesperson for an organization, and you're welcome to do that. You never heard me defending pornography. I've called it a blight upon the land. I said it's destroyed minds and marriages and children. I've said that on the show. I don't know who you're quoting, but let's start from the beginning here. Are you in favor of the dissemination of pornography in everyone's house the way it is now?
I am completely against pornography. The Meese Commission on Pornography, which was Ronald Reagan's commission on pornography, found that pornography has a causal link to violence against women as well as a link to...
That's correct. Pornography promotes masturbation, which destroys sex between men and women, which destroys marriages. Is that correct?
That's one of the deleterious effects of pornography, but it also promotes violence against women because 40% of the porn industry are images of women being tortured, raped, beaten, and it's not acting. It's really going on, and it's done in the name of entertainment. This is not what the First Amendment...
Right. Larry Flint and his degenerate lawyer is the person who kicked in the doors of decency in America. As a result of that degenerate pervert, in my opinion, Larry Flint, America is now floating in sewage. You cannot go into a hotel room without being deluged with pornography. You cannot, any computer in America right now, you click on it and there it is. Bingo, the most vile scenes imaginable, all legal, all free in every living room. How do you keep your children from watching that? Tell me how a 14-year-old boy who watches pornography can ever have a relationship with a girl. Moreover, tell me how a 13 or 14-year-old girl who may go onto an internet site and get pornography can ever, ever have a relationship of romance with a young boy. Tell me how it's possible.
Am I still on? Am I allowed to talk?
Well, we're agreeing with each other. I mean, okay, excuse me for agreeing with you. You're so difficult that if someone agrees with you, you're angry at them.
I wasn't sure if I was put on mute. I was honestly not sure if I was put on mute.
All right, so let's. You're a tough customer. Thank God we have no relationship other than... So what's your next point?
Well, my point is that it's not legal. So for Elena Kagan to want to purge or look forward to the day when pornography is not available, that is not, she's not a Nazi or fascist because of that. And you're comparing her to Nazis and fascists.
Ma'am, she was not talking about pornography. She was talking about eliminating speech that offends certain racial and gender groups.
Well, that's what pornography does. And you
well, I think you're stretching it, by the way. I really do. She said, I take it as a given that we live in a society marred by racial and gender inequality, that certain forms of speech perpetuate and promote this inequality, and that the uncoerced disappearance of such speech would be cause for great elation. There's no mention of pornography there.
But didn't you say the word pornography twice when you were talking about this statement of hers?
But she did not refer to pornography in her attack on free speech. She made no reference to pornography. The title, it is true, of the article, rather the speech, was Regulation of Hate Speech and Pornography After RAV. But her description of what she meant by hate speech refers only to statements about race or gender.
Well, I think she's probably, based on what I'm hearing, that she's probably referring to pornography. Because pornography is...
Well, I think you're stretching it, but would you support her in saying that she believes there should be an uncoerced disappearance of speech about race or gender?
I don't understand what she means by uncoerced. We have a...
Hold it. What does she mean by the uncoerced disappearance of such speech? Where could anyone but someone from Harvard come up with a phrase like that? What in the hell does uncoerced disappearance mean?
I don't know what that means.
Well, somebody... Okay, good. So let's say we disagree politically. Wouldn't you expect somebody in the Senate to say, Ms. Kagan, when you wrote this article in 1993, what did you mean by the uncoerced disappearance of hate speech? Please explain what you mean by uncoerced disappearance. Wouldn't that at least be a reasonable question to ask her?
I suppose it would, but I would preface it by saying, what do you mean by hate speech? Are you referring to pornography?
That's another good question. Where do you stand on pornography? That's a very good one for people in Hollywood, because if she ever wanted to see the uncoerced disappearance of pornography, virtually every Hollywood film would have to be purged. Thank you for the call. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. So there it is, the Supreme Court. First, we had to suffer through Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the former chief counsel for the American Civil Liberties Union, which, as you well know, is a communist front group. The most destructive organization in the history of America has been the ACLU. It acts as though it's another avenue of government. Everything that the schmucks do, they ask what the ACLU thinks of it. You hear this? Whether a bullet can be fired in Afghanistan, it has to go through some pockmarked lunatic in New York City's Lower East Side to see what he thinks about it first. So we had that to deal with. Now we have to deal with the Supreme Court under Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Can you imagine those two, what they're going to do to Alito and Roberts and Thomas on the Supreme Court? Can you imagine the terror they're going to use on those men once they put the two of them in black robes? Can you imagine what will go on in that Supreme Court? It's amazing. We can never survive this. Never. Look, forget that she's a radical feminist. Forget her sexual orientation, which is all over the blogosphere of what it really is. I don't really give a damn. I don't care if she's a lesbian. It doesn't matter to me. I'll tell you that right now. And I want to go on record, and I want you to write it down. I don't care if someone is gay or a lesbian. I never did. I have said this over and over and over again. But people keep taking me out of context. There is a subgroup within the gay and lesbian community that uses gay and lesbianism to promote a radical leftist agenda. They use it to beat people up and threaten them. It has nothing to do with sexual orientation. It's a ploy to control people by saying you're anti-gay, you're anti-lesbian. That's what I've always objected to. You know, this Friday, Playboy comes out with the big June issue in 3D. And it's, strangely enough, it's the issue that has the 8,000-word interview about me, Michael Savage. No doubt, it's going to be the biggest selling issue they've ever had because of me in 3D. My words will be in 5D, but I will only be in 3D. The girls will be in 4D, and you'll probably be in 2D. But the fact of the matter is, in this article, I don't know what the guy wrote. I know that it was an open-ended interview, and it went on for 8 hours. 3.5 hours on a Friday night. 3.5 hours the next day with a tape running the next day. I don't even know what I said. But I do know this. He kept bringing up issues about sexuality over and over again. He said, look, you do know that we're a magazine about sex. I said, I know. So he kept asking me, where do you stand on gays? Where do you stand on this? Where do you stand on... I said, do you want to hear the whole story? Or do you want to hear the snapshot over and over again? Now, whether he'll run the entire statement again, I don't know. Maybe this will finally put to rest the lie about Michael Savage. I am a sexual libertarian. I understand people's sexuality is their own damn business. I do not want the government regulating anybody's sexuality except when it comes to the exploitation of children. I want to be very clear about that. But I also want to say that just as people who happen to be African American have been used by the radical left to promote the radical left agenda, and that any African American who is not of the radical left persuasion is never heard from. Never. The same is true with regard to gays and lesbians. If a gay or a lesbian is political and they're not to the left, far to the left of center, they're never heard from. They're disappeared. They're ostracized. I'll be right back. Savage. We learned today also that Obama pushed Merkel of Germany to act on the bailout. In the process, the EU, under crisis, moved fitfully toward even more centralization, toward a French vision of an economic government for the region, and more bailouts for the lazy bums in the nations of Europe that don't work. So the debt package for Europe took a nudge from Obama, who, of course, did it with your money. Obama had just flown into Hampton, Virginia Sunday to deliver a commencement address, you know. But before he donned his silky academic robes, he was on the phone with Chancellor Angela Merkel of Germany, telling her that Europe needed to try something big. And that was to bail out Greece. He said we need at least $1 trillion. So what this does is encourage even more bad behavior on the part of the lazy bums of Europe. They want to continue to spend wildly, travel to San Francisco during the summer so they can get drunk in the streets and continue to act as though they're rich euros, when in fact they're broke. Loan guarantees adding up to nearly $1 trillion. And the EU now spins even into further bankruptcy, more centralization, more of a central government for the region. They say it is a role not totally unlike the one that the federal government in the United States played during the early stages of the financial crisis of 2008. So he bargained with the French President Sarkozy, the Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi, blah, blah, blah. And there it is. You're going to bail out Europe, in other words, to the tune of at least $50 billion. You have to pay for it. Did you ever think you'd wake up one day and hear that your Federal Reserve would be sending money to bail out Greece? Where is it written in the U.S. Constitution that you have to pay taxes to bail out lazy bums in Greece or Spain or Ireland? Tell me where it's written. If someone has to show me that, I'll be glad to accept it on the Savage Nation. So I don't know where this ends. I don't see how this ends well. I think this ends very poorly for everyone in the world, particularly we, the Americans. And I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know when the S is going to hit the fan, but I think it's inevitable it's going to happen. They have been pushing off the final blowout. I think that when this melts down, when the economy finally melts down, it'll make Chernobyl look like a child's play, so to speak. You know, I could say to you now, go buy gold. I believe it. What else is left? Tell me, what other hard currency is there when all the currencies are fraudulent? When? I mean, I have to tell you up front, one of my biggest advertisers is a gold advertiser, just so you know. But I wouldn't say it if I didn't believe it. I wouldn't have led the conversation here if I didn't believe it. Tell me why gold is surging, particularly in Europe. Because they know that the paper currency is just that. All right, let's go back. What do you want to talk about? This is a good one. Tony in Chicago. Go ahead. You got the Oedipus call. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Mike. I remember a couple of years back, before Obama was even president, you were breaking down his psychological makeup with the Oedipus complex with his mother. And I thought it was fascinating how everything, all the points that you were making are coming true now. Look at Kagan. And then now you have, and then Napolitano. It's like he's surrounding himself with women. And obviously.
But you mean a mannish kind of woman. Isn't that what you're saying?
Correct. But
very, very tough, masculine type of women. So how does that tie into his mother complex?
Well, according to Wikipedia, it's the unconscious ideals and feelings which center around the desire to possess the parent of the opposite sex and eliminate the parent of the same sex. So it's as if though he's...
Well, but he's not picking particularly feminine-looking women, is he? He's not picking idealized feminine types. In fact, he's picking almost a hybrid type of personality. Almost a man-woman type, if you want to talk, in plain blunt terms. What's that all about? That's also something, if you want to go into the psychology of it, some identity crisis he may be suffering through. That he doesn't have a clear role model in a man or a woman, so he picks a neutral?
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
In terms of the future, our country has a hung parliament where no party has an overall majority, and we have some deep and pressing problems, a huge deficit, deep social problems, and a political system in need of reform. For those reasons, I aim to form a proper and full coalition between the Conservatives and the Liberal Democrats.
Well, you know that there's a new Prime Minister of Britain, and I've gotten many congratulatory emails from people who assume that he's automatically going to remove my name from the list of murderers and terrorists. You know I'm banned in Britain. Many of you still think that I'm... Many of you actually falsely believe that my name has been taken off the list of actual murderers and terrorists. Many of you are shocked that no one in the major media has paid attention to the fact that I, Michael Savage, am the only member of the media banned in Britain, but we'll have to wait and see. Now, the good riddance one comes now. Here's this vile creature, Gordon Brown, who personally orchestrated putting my name on a list with actual murderers of children. Listen to 24 as this bum goes out the door.
As you know, the general election left no party able to command a majority in the House of Commons. I said I would do all that I could to ensure a strong, stable and principled government was formed, able to tackle Britain's economic and political challenges.
All right, get him off the scene. I don't know what a man like this is fit for. Maybe he can become a spokesman for the Communist Party of Europe because he's not fit for anything else. I have a question for you. If you know anything about politics at all, and I don't know how many of you know much about British politics, or what you know about David Cameron, do you think that the Conservative Party will remove my name from the list of individuals banned in Britain? Now, I want to tell you two things you should know. One, May 5th, 2009, I'm banned in Britain. Shortly thereafter, Jackie Smith, the foul human being who put my name on that list, the Home Secretary, was thrown out of the position of Home Secretary. And last week during the election, Jackie Smith, the very same woman, was actually kicked out of the office, her seat in the district from which she came, losing to a conservative opponent by a substantial margin. Whether this had anything to do with Michael Savage is hard to tell. They know that she herself was corrupt, and that unto itself may be the reason they threw her out of the Home Secretariat and out of the seat that she held. But do you actually think that the incoming coalition will want to take the chance of removing Michael Savage from the list of banned individuals? I know that it's the right thing to do. I know that I never should have been on this list, whether you like my speech or not. I don't think you know this, but even the ACLU was against my being banned in Britain for their own reasons. Even CAIR, my mortal enemy in their own mind, was against my being banned because they understand that if I could be banned, they could be banned next, that they were smart enough to know that. It was only a few small creatures in the liberal media here in America who said, yeah, right on, he should be banned, mainly the vermin on MSNBC, who don't even understand what they sound like anymore. But do you think that I will be removed from that list? It would be very good for the economy of Britain because I do plan a very big expenditure with a big tour of people to go over there and celebrate, and we'll have to wait and see. But what do you think? We're also talking about SCOTUS nominee Kagan and her socialist anti-American background. I didn't say un-American, I said anti-American. Let me define what I mean by her anti-American background. What do I mean by her anti-American background? Well, let's start with the Bill of Rights. One of the principles of the Bill of Rights is the First Amendment. And she has the nerve to have written at the University of Chicago under the regulation of hate speech and pornography the following. This is Kagan, the one they say there is no paper trail for, says, I take it as a given that we live in a society marred by racial and gender inequality, whatever that means, that certain forms of speech perpetuate and promote this inequality, and that the uncoerced disappearance of such speech would be cause for great elation. What does she mean by uncoerced disappearance? Something along the lines of what Chavez has done to those who speak out against him, jailing them? What does she mean by uncoerced disappearance? Let's go to Sacramento. Brendan, you seem to know what that means. What does that mean? The uncoerced disappearance. What does uncoerced disappearance mean? What's that a code word for?
Okay, well, coercion is to convince through the use of force. So while I don't agree with anything that she wrote, it sounds like through uncoerced disappearance, she's hoping that just people will conveniently quit using speech that she disagrees with.
All right, but how do you pressure people into using speech you don't agree with? Do you ban them from the country? Do you ban them from Britain because they used so-called offensive speech, the very speech that the First Amendment was written to protect? You do know that the First Amendment was written not to protect polite speech that Kagan would approve of. The First Amendment was written to protect violent speech, hateful speech, angry speech, divisive speech. That's why the founders wrote it.
I don't disagree with you. I think she's awful, and I know that the liberals in general, I'm a student, so I get a double dose of this at school every day. But so I don't think the liberals support the First Amendment, but through uncoerced, I think that's it's what she's trying to say is that she hopes it goes away. But of course, that's not in practice.
Well, what does she mean? She's going to shame people into not speaking a certain way? Is that it?
I would guess that she would be using, yeah, shame and a combination of the liberals vilifying everyone without actually taking any legal action, although I don't know how well that actually works.
But you don't know what she might do as a Supreme Court justice, do you? What Big Sis might do then?
Oh, well, that's dangerous. Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing for her to be a foul-mouthed left-wing radical professor at Harvard or Chicago. It's another thing to take this gutter rat and put her on the Supreme Court. I am so sick and tired of dancing around Kagan's gutter rat background. What the hell has she done that makes her so great?
The woman is a straight-out ILGWU radical left-wing female lawyer of the lowest order. What the hell are they making her into some great Felix Frankfurter for? She is a low-class, Lower East Side radical union lawyer, period. And they pushed her all the way up into this level, just like they did Obama, in order to foist her onto the Supreme Court. Don't you see what they're doing here? This is a conspiracy. This woman didn't suddenly arrive out of nowhere. She wasn't picked out of a hat. This woman has been handpicked all along. Chicago Pete, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, this is no shock to anyone here from Illinois. This is just routine Chicago politics. Our attorney general here was, she never tried a court case in her life. She's the daughter of the Speaker of the House in Chicago, who is a good buddy of Obama. They were also trying to prop up this inadequate, ridiculous woman into Blago's governorship. And also, Mike, I can't wait to see psychological nudity in 3D.
Well, I asked the editor of Playboy, am I in 3D? He said, no, you're in 2D. The girls are in 3D.
Well, you have to change your opener once it comes out.
Okay. I don't know what he wrote. I don't know how he edited it. I'll have to see. If it's good, I'll talk about it. If it's bad, I won't. That's all, but it's too late now. The horse is out of the barn, as they say. Will the new British Prime Minister free Savage? Obama's judgmental non-judge. The question everyone's whispering about Kagan. Kagan whitewash. Kagan Supreme Court argument didn't go well. Kid gloves or boxing gloves on Kagan. $1 trillion euro rescue sets up long-term disaster. Obama pushed Merkel to act on bailout. Obama's top aides given military chauffeurs. What? Valerie Jarrett and David Axelrod have been given the luxurious and prestigious perk of being picked up at their homes and driven to work around town in a chauffeur-driven limousine by military guards. This is something out of the Soviet Union. Never happened before in America. Never. Never happened before. Traditionally reserved for national security officials, but I've told you that these people, these radicals, these Marxists, these Axelrods, are all communists right out of Animal Farm. In Animal Farm, some people are more equal than others. So they're now being driven around town in government vehicles chauffeured by military drivers. Does that bother you? Doesn't that strike you as odd that David Axelrod would want to be driven around, would need to be driven around by a military driver? This is something that was conducted in the ex-Soviet Union, where politicians all had military drivers. Don't you see it? Isn't it clear? It's not handwriting on the wall, my friend. It's America after the fall. I'll be right back. One 800 449 8255. Top Obama advisors Axelrod and Jarrett have been given military cars traditionally reserved for national security officials. The Bush White House did not give the same privileges to any of its political advisors, according to former Bush administration officials. Why would Axelrod and Jarrett be given military bodyguards and chauffeurs? I'll let you figure it out. Here we are in the Savage Nation, whatever this day is, May 11th, 2010. We have suffered through almost 18 months of the imprisonment of the United States of America, the noose being tightened every day by this gang from Chicago, and there's no sign that the Republicans are going to pull this noose off the people's neck. Hawaii, Dan, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Mike, big fan of the show. I just want to advise you to, I wouldn't get your hopes up about your name being taken off of the list, despite Jackie Smith and Gordon Brown being defeated as they should have been.
Right.
Really, because I believe it's something bigger than the two of those. They're just puppets, I'd say. And
Who do you think in America sent these out of context sound bites to England to have me banned from England? Who do you think in America did that?
I think you know, but who? I don't want to speculate.
No, I want you to. I'd like you to speculate. This is a First Amendment show. Who did it?
I'd say the people that hate free speech did it, and it's just it's part of a bigger movement just to demonize people that speak the truth. And it may have something to do with the fact that the UK has been taken over by Islam, and there's, you know, they have a voice over there, and they don't like.
They have a very big voice, and in fact, the terrorists and murderers who are on the list are all Muslim, with rare exceptions. Some of them are Russian skinheads who actually killed people. They didn't just say things. None of them had a radio show, or none of them were in the media. These were actual murderers. So to take a person from the media and put him on a list of banned individuals was incredible. But what's even more incredible is that there was no outcry here in America, which means that anybody could have that happen to them. Don't they understand that? I don't get that part of it.
Well, they don't understand that. Maybe they will when their name is put on a list, but they don't understand and they don't.
I don't know what to expect. We're going to make another appeal. And by the way, those of you who've contributed to the Savage Legal Fund, I want to thank you. The lawyer is drawing up new papers, new appeal. We'll see what happens. Let's pray for justice in England. If it does happen, I will arrange to go over there. I mean, I can't promise. My health is an issue. My energy levels are an issue. If, God willing, my name is removed from that list, I will arrange 1,000 people to go over, maybe by ship, or we'll book 3 airplanes. We'll have a great pub tour of England, and we'll celebrate freedom again. And I don't know if that's going to happen, but I'd love to see that day come. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Tim in San Francisco, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. I just wanted to tell you my observation that I'm surprised nobody else has come up with, and that is how Obama is going to protect us from terrorists, and that is he is single-handedly taking away our freedom and liberty, which is one of the things that they point out that the Muslim extremists don't like about America. So as long as he can take away our freedom and liberty, we will no longer be a target.
Well, that's an interesting suggestion. I don't quite follow the convolution of your thinking on it. I don't think the Muslims would like, the radical Muslims would accept our society even if speech were curtailed. I really don't. I think they hate the freedoms of our society, and I don't think that they would ever be satisfied until there is Sharia law, meaning women wrapped up in garments that are not even called for in the Quran, women wrapped head to toe, etc. So I think we're a long way from that. The number one enemy of radical Islam, by the way, is not the West, but women, women's freedom. I don't think women understand the danger they're in, particularly liberal women who are possibly the most, let us say, freest with their licentiousness. They are the ultimate targets of radical Islam. Wouldn't you agree with that, Tim?
Yes, I would. And I think it's interesting that the UN has put Iran on the...
They put them on the Women's Human Rights Commission. It's right out of Animal Farm, isn't it?
But, you know, the UN also condemned Arizona's governor today.
They're very important. Did they condemn Hugo Chavez yet?
No.
The UN is a communist international organization. It has no place in America. It should be thrown out of New York. The building should be turned into condominiums for poor people. And we should get rid of the pollution on the east side of New York. I'm very clear on it. We do not need a UN. It is a useless, polluted communist front group that wastes trillions of dollars on God knows what. It does no use, nothing good whatsoever. So now you can understand why I'm loved in England. You know, when someone is as blunt as I am, they make a lot of enemies every day just by breathing. I don't know how many people are left who actually speak their mind in the world, you know, particularly in the media. It's not easy. It's harder every day. It is harder every day to speak your mind. People are frightened. People are very frightened indeed. When you look at Fox News and what's happened there and how quickly they've fallen in line with Obama, I mean, you know that there are forces coming to bear on them. There's no question about it. I mean, they even admit it. They freely admit it. You could see it in their coverage. How they could continue to have a guy like Geraldo Rivera on Fox News is beyond my comprehension. This man was a failure when he was on every other channel. The man wears that silly, almost burlesque mustache. He doesn't even know the 60s are over. The man has guests on like the street hustler Al Sharpton on a regular basis. How in the world do people still put up with this? Answer, because there's no alternative until I create it.
Savage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
news is horrible. 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 Spector loses lead week before primary. Ugh. Play the music. I don't even want to read the news to the audience. They've had enough for the day. How much can they take? Savage interview in 3D Playboy this Friday. The June edition hits newsstands Friday. Equipped with 3D. I don't know. Maybe this is a turn of good luck for me. I mean, I can't really complain. My life has been actually gifted. I've worked hard, but I've been gifted in many ways. And luck or blessed, whatever you want to say, blessed. They use the word blessed. They don't mean it. Whenever you hear a person say, we've been blessed, know that they don't mean it. That's a phrase that comes out of the evangelical movement. And when it's used by evangelicals, it means something. But whenever you hear it being used in Hollywood or, let's say, by the media elite, you know that they're lying. Whenever you hear someone say, I've been blessed, you know that they're full of crap. They don't even believe in God. 99% of the people who say, I've been blessed, don't believe in God. But I actually think I've been blessed. I believe in God. Savage interview in 3D Playboy. Now, you see, this is the old Chinese adage of what is good luck and what is bad luck. So it's probably going to be the biggest issue they've had in years. It's a dying magazine. It used to be something. When I was in my teens, all I read was Road and Track and Playboy. I lived on Playboy and Road and Track. One I read in the bathroom, one I read in the bedroom. I'm not going to tell you which. But the fact of the matter is, they were the Bibles of the youth of my day. For those of us who didn't go to Harvard or Yale and learn how to be good communists, you know. So now the interview's coming out. I'm featured in the profile. So it's a 3D issue, as I say. So it's going to sell like crazy for all of the deviants out there who want to put glasses on and think, oh, look, I could see her breasts now in 3D glasses. Ooh, what kind of, you're going to get a thrill out of that? Wearing a pair of plastic glasses on you, schnoz, looking at fake boobs in a fake magazine of a fake woman. All right, good luck to you, but it'll sell like crazy as a novelty. Fine, it's a good trick. I mean, we had the 3D glasses in 1953, and they died after 3 years. So, you know, everything comes around, right? The Bible in 3D would be a real kick. I mean, there's Abraham putting Isaac on the stone in 3D. I can't wait to see that one. Savage. So, in other words, it's going to be a big seller. They'll sell out like crazy. Now, that's the issue in which the interview with Michael Savage is the centerpiece next to the centerfold. So if the interview is positive, then it will be good luck. On the other hand, if the writer chose to edit my comments in such a way as to make me look bad, then it will be bad luck. So it's the old Chinese adage of what is good luck and what is bad luck. Have you ever heard that story? It's a fabulous one. I probably mangle it. My mind is a little foggy. This is allergy season. You'll have to forgive me. I'm tired. You'll have to forgive me. I've just finished a 110,000-word manuscript in about 10 to 12 weeks with two researchers. I've never worked as hard in my life. You'll have to forgive me. I also spent all day with another photographer taking more pictures for another book cover when I finally wanted to rest. You'll have to forgive me when I tell you the adage of what is good luck and bad luck. So it goes like this, I think. A Chinese farmer is farming in his garden with his sons. And one of his sons falls and breaks his leg. And he says, oh, father, I broke my leg. What bad luck? And the father says to him, what is good luck and what is bad luck? 2 days later, a warlord comes through with his army, conscripting men from farms. And he doesn't select the farmer's son because he has a badly broken leg. So the farmer says to his son, what is good luck and what is bad luck? You could fill in the blanks and write the rest of it yourself. You see what I mean? Philosophy is the key to survival. Otherwise, you're no different than a woman with fake boobs in a fake magazine viewed by fake people wearing fake glasses. You understand the difference between surreal and real? You understand that philosophy, although it's considered not real, is actually closer to real than unreal? Do you understand that a faker like Obama is really not who he says he is? And that a faker like Kagan, who they tell you has no paper trail, actually does have a paper trail? It's quite threatening and dangerous even to liberals who believe in the First Amendment. Don't you see any of that? Or do you need a pair of 3D glasses to see Kagan and Obama in color and in 3D? I mean, what do you want me to say to you here? That's all. I've said it already. I can't say anything. I don't even want to do politics right now. In fact, I don't think I'm going to do politics. Let's have a little rock and roll so I can lighten up my thinking. I think I need a massage for about a month right now. I need a 1 month, 30-day massage. I don't even get massages. I don't like them. What's this thing with massages everyone gets? I don't like people's hands all over me. It's like a weird feeling. It's unnatural. It's very Greek, by the way, incidentally. Play some rock and roll while I muse on massage. I turn it off. I think I got the thought I'm going to work on, which is massage and how Greek it is. See, the whole concept of massage is so alien to my DNA in that I was raised to worship and work, nothing else. I once went to a holy man many years ago when things weren't working out for me. I had two young children. I just got my doctorate. I couldn't get a teaching job because I was a white male. I wasn't as brilliant as some of the minorities and women out there, you see, the ones who have turned the university into such sterling places. And so I was struggling and trying to make a living and this and that. So I went to see a holy man, and I was, you know, basically really down. Really, things were bad and horrible. So I said to him, things were bad, and I have two young children, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I hope I don't lose my house. So he looked at me, and he said, you know, the holy book says that a man, and he said, nowhere in the holy book does it say a man is required to become wealthy. That's number one. Nowhere can you find in any of the writings, whether it's the Bible or the commentary, does it say that you are required to become wealthy. Nowhere does it say that. That's number one. Show me a rule that says you're supposed to work till you're rich. Doesn't say that. He said, all a man really needs in life, and he said it to me, I'll never forget it, and it really helped me, is a desk, a chair, a lamp, and a toilet. Now, what he was saying is meaning all you really need is a proper place to read the holy books. I would also add a wife to that list. I mean, but he didn't have that. But he said a desk, a chair, a lamp, and a toilet, which is very funny and very humble, very down to earth. But you know what? It satisfied me. It reduced this feeling that I was failing to another realm. It brought it into another realm. Now, I have since become very successful. My family is successful, thank God, not through inheritance, but through murderously hard work, 16 to 18 hours a day, 7 days a week. We didn't take it from anybody. We didn't take it. Now the government wants to take it from me and give it to bums in Greece. That's even another insult. It's not bad enough they gave it to the illegal alien bums who want everything for nothing. But now they want to give it to the Greek bums who now want me to bail them out for $50 or $100 billion. You got to understand that at a certain point, a person stops working and says, you know what? Go to hell. I'm not working anymore. And that's what's going to happen. That's exactly what's happened every time we've had a left-wing administration. They've driven businesses out. They've increased regulation and taxation, and people just stop their motivation. You increase taxation, you reduce motivation. It's as simple as that. But most of you leftists don't know anything about reality. I told you the story earlier. The photographer is a wonderful man from Eastern Europe. He came here. He fled the Soviet satellite system. And he says many of his acquaintances and friends wax eloquently to him about the wonders and beauties of socialism. He said they don't know what socialism is. All they do is read books and articles. He said, I lived through it. It was deprivation. It was terrorism. It was work camps. It was death camps. It was secret police. And he said, they talk about socialism as though it's something I don't know anything about, when these naive liberals from Berkeley and San Francisco talk about it as though it's the salvation for America. And so there it is, ladies and gentlemen. As the world turns, it is the Savage Nation. Let's have a little music, Ray. A little music would be wonderful right now.
Brawlers, a Detroit and barbecue dish. You get the treat of the week.
What is
for when you dig that real fine jive with the welcome beat. Fall in there.
No, I don't want. I want to hit Detroit barbecued ribs. Is this? Oh, the House of Blue Lights. I asked for this. It's the House of Blue Lights. Betty, photographer's socks the whole time he was here. Every time someone comes near me, my attack poodle goes after him. My 10-pound attack poodle. Let that be a warning to my enemies. My 10-pound attack poodle is waiting for you. Anyone comes near the microphone, he bites him. Anyone comes near the computer, he nips their hands. In fact, I don't have an assistant anymore because he nipped his fingers left and right. You know, by the way, the photographer said to me, does Teddy listen to your show? I said, yes. In fact, he's sort of my gauge of anger. I said, what do you mean? He's really normally lays on a couch. He watches me during the whole show. He listens and he sleeps on a pillow. And when I get angry, he doesn't jump up. I get angry, he doesn't jump up a move. But the other day, when I almost blew an artery, he jumped off the chair. And I said, that's my new guideline. If Teddy looks up, I slow down. If Teddy jumps off the chair, I take a break. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Well, this just came out about the stock crash last week. It was manipulated, as I suggested. I'm always right. Shortly after 2:15 p.m. Eastern Time on last Thursday, hedge fund Universa Investments LP placed a big bet in the Chicago options trading pits that stocks would continue their sharp declines. On any other day, the $7.5 million trade for 50,000 options contracts might have briefly hurt stock prices, though not caused much of a ripple. But coming on a day when all varieties of financial markets were deeply unsettled, the trade may have played a key role in the stock market collapse just 20 minutes later. The trade by Universa, a hedge fund advised by Nassim Taleb, author of Black Swan, The Impact of the Highly Improbable, led traders on the other side of the transaction to do their own selling to offset some of the risk. Very, very interesting. So the tidal wave followed Nassim Taleb's dumping of stocks, is what they're saying today. The panic of last week. I don't know if I believe it. I believe that this was only one of the traders, and I believe if we had a legitimate SEC, they would be investigating other members or members of the Managed Funds Association, which is a group of hedge fund pirates who have been manipulating markets for many years now with no controls whatsoever because they've owned Christopher Cox like Obama. In fact, they probably put Obama in office. In fact, the collapse that brought Obama to power was orchestrated by them in order to create the collapse, in order to create the crisis, in order to make the Republicans look worse than they were, in order to bring in this man from Chicago, in order to bring about this discriminatory government that we have right now. So there's no truth to the truth, but there's no lie to the truth, meaning it's only a snapshot of the moving picture that we'll never see. You get that? 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let's go to Michigan. Nelly, you're on the Savage Nation. What's the topic, please?
You for saving my legs.
I saved your... How did I save your legs?
Not eating cheese. When you said that day that your both of your feet were hurting, and you said that you went and looked in your book, and cheese is the cause of it. So I quit eating cheese, and my legs are back to normal. And
let's be clear about this. You can laugh at this woman. You can make it into a scream fest if you want. But there are many people who have dairy allergies and don't even know them. Don't even know that they're allergic to dairy. And dairy can provoke such a reaction. Certainly not in all people. Nor do I recommend giving up dairy for the population at large. I happen to have an allergy to dairy. I have since I'm a child. How many years have you eaten cheese or dairy?
I haven't eaten so much cheese, but until I came here to this nursing home, and it seems like they feed us cheese at every meal.
Oh, government cheese. Government cheese. Well, you got to thank Obama for that cheese. At least it doesn't go to the mice. New York City, WORL. Thanks for getting me someone from a nursing home. I appreciate that call. That's definitely good for the demographics. Al in New York, WOR. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. This is Al from Butler, New Jersey. I just want to tell you that, you know, this liar of a president told a college audience recently that the internet, the iPhone, talk radio is all bad for these college kids because
that's right. By the way, he spoke to a predominantly or formerly all black college, Hampton College. I played the soundbite yesterday. That's right. Mr. Obama, the thin-skinned Obama, doesn't like anyone else's opinion other than his own.
You know what, Michael? I believe that now that this technology is growing and people are learning from this technology, that they just elected Hugo Chavez to the White House because that's why he don't like it. All of a sudden, it's no good. The worst part of the
well, but he used these technologies, with the exception of talk radio, to get elected. He used the dunces who used iPods and the dunces who will text each other day and night. He used those dunces to get elected. Now he doesn't like it that they're actually emailing each other and texting each other saying he's a fraud.
Mike, the funniest part about the whole thing is he claims in that speech to these college kids that he doesn't even know how to use that technology. What a joke. this guy lies.
Yeah, but you voted for him, didn't you? You were taken in, right?
No. Not me, Michael. No way.
Let me ask you something. I was pulling your leg. How many members of your family voted for Obama?
None. None of the members of my family. My wife's
no.
a teacher, and she didn't even vote for him. You know what? I could spot a liar a mile away, and Obama is not just a liar. The man's crazy. To make a statement that he doesn't know how to use this technology, and then the Secret Service wanted to take his iPhone away, how can he sit up there and lie like this? The man just
lies. Well, it's the same way they can say that Kagan is not a radical feminist, or that she doesn't have a woman friend, an intimate woman friend at Harvard, when everybody knows that that's so at Harvard. But, I mean, look, why is that an issue? Does it really matter that she's a woman who likes women, if that's true? Why should she not come out and say I'm a woman who likes women, and that shouldn't disqualify me? I would agree with her. That unto itself should not disqualify her at all. But that she's a Marxist should disqualify her in a free market economy. You understand that? Someone's using my word. I don't believe this. We are once again the schmucks of Europe. German media's verdict as anger at Greek bailout swells. They're listening to the Savage Nation. You're kidding me. Europe's tuning into the... No wonder I was banned in Britain. We are once again the schmucks of Europe. German media's verdict as anger of Greek bailout swells. Who said that? The headline on the front page of Germany's biggest newspaper, Bild, summed up the national mood, declaring we are once again the schmucks of Europe. How did I know the Bild was listening to the Savage? No, schmuck is a very well-known word in German and Jewish societies. The truth is everyone knows what a schmuck is. Well, you have to have lived in America for a certain number of years. You know what a schmuck is. Wir sind wieder mal Europas Deppen. Oh, God, no. They're asking if the country was the schmuck of Europe. Wir sind wieder mal Europas Deppen. But where's the word schmucken? I don't see schmucken in the word. It says wir sind wieder mal Europas Deppen. I guess I have to read into the article to see the word schmucken. I don't see that. Schmuck is a old European word for balls on a Christmas tree, incidentally, in case you don't know it. But it has a double meaning. You have to have 3D mind. You have to have 3D glasses on your mind to know what the word schmuck actually means, as opposed to what the word schmendel actually means. Whatever. It is late in the day. It's been a long day's night, by the way. German anger, the Bild front page today with a newspaper voice, the frustration of German taxpayers, furious at the Greek bailout, by asking if the country was the schmuck of Europe. You know what I would say? Even though Germany's socialist and France is socialist, they still have newspapers that ask and say things that are real. We don't have real newspapers. I'm actually a real newspaper. Michael Savage is actually a verbal newspaper in the United States of America. Because we've lost our papers, they become nothing. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had one newspaper left that would say, have we become the schmucks of the world by bailing out Greece? Wouldn't that be a wonderful headline tomorrow for the New York Post? I hope that Rupert Murdoch, who's a genius, writes that headline tomorrow. Have we become the schmucks of the world by bailing out Greece? God, that would be a great newspaper for the New York Post tomorrow. I wouldn't expect it in the New York Times, but I expect it from the Post. I think that the Greeks should just simply sell an island to the Germans or give them one. I think that's important. And so there it is. So they wanted to create the euro. The French-German alliance was so determined to create the euro at whatever the cost that they deliberately connived to cover up the problems of Greece and Spain and Portugal and even Ireland. And so they faked it and they made believe they met the necessary criteria the same way Bonnie Frank made believe unqualified minorities and unqualified illegals met the criteria for loans to buy houses. Do you understand? You get it? Don't be the schmuck of your neighborhood. Get it?
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
seamen lay dying. And as on the foredeck he lay, to around him his comrades come sighing. These last mournful words he did say: wrap me up in my tarpaulin jacket and say a poor duffer's.
All right, let's move on. There's a lot of big news today. One, the conservative Cameron is the new prime minister of Britain. Many people think that this is a clean victory for conservatism. They are mistaken. This is a coalition government between the conservatives or Tories and the Lib Dems. People say to me, congratulations, they will now take Michael Savage off the list with murderers and terrorists. And I say from your mouth to God's ears, although I'm not optimistic, given that it is a coalition with liberal Democrats, we'll have to wait and see. In any case, it's a step forward, I hope, for the British people. Then, of course, this won't go away, and it shouldn't go away until she goes away. And that is the blatant radical socialist named Elena Kagan, who Obama's trying to force down our throats like he did health care. Though the media continues to claim Kagan has no paper trail, every hour that goes by brings another damning fact forward. You heard first in the Savage Nation that she had written a paper in college entitled To the Final Conflict, Socialism in New York City, 1900 to 1933. In this paper, Obama's nominee for the Supreme Court praised the Marxist radicals of the Depression era in the United States. Well, today even more details have come out about that paper she wrote. For example, in one passage, she wrote this and asks, sadly, why in a society by no means perfect has a radical party never attained by no means why in a society by no means perfect has a radical party never attained the status of a major political force? She asks, why in particular did the socialist movement never become an alternative to the nation's established parties? Close quote. They say there is no paper trail. Well, it began there, or it actually began in her father's kitchen. He was, you see, a far-left lawyer. 30 years ago, she bemoaned the fact that radical socialists had never taken power in America. She feels she can do it now. But it gets worse. Listen to this. You're not going to believe this. This is, again, Elena Kagan, who Obama would like to put on the Supreme Court. In discussing the internal conflicts in the Socialist Party in America in the 1930s, Kagan says, the story is a sad but also a chastening one for those who more than a half a century after socialism's decline still wish to change America. These are the words of a woman who desperately longs for a socialist dictatorship in America, and yet the socialist media continues to proclaim that she has no paper trail. Are you ready for more? Because here it comes. Do you think as a liberal she believes in free speech? Well, you're wrong. At the Chicago School of Law, she wrote a paper on hate speech and regulating it. And here's the quote. She says, I take it as a given that we live in a society marred by racial and gender inequality. Notice racial and gender inequality. That certain forms of speech perpetuate and promote the inequality, and that the uncoerced disappearance of such speech would be cause for great elation. Close quote. She wants certain speech to disappear. What do you think of when you hear that word, disappear? Someone in a Soviet nation being disappeared by the secret police in the middle of the night? Is that what Ms. Kagan wants to do to our freedom of speech? Does she want to temper the speech, moderate the speech, or disappear it? Obama has nominated a woman to the Supreme Court who advocates the disappearing of certain free speech, and yet the media says she has no paper trail. Maybe it's a red paper trail that they just don't want to go down. Now, as I said on this show before, what if a conservative president who ran as a centrist suddenly appointed someone to the Supreme Court who had direct ties to far-right fringe organizations? What would happen? The media would be in an uproar. Well, imagine then if that same far-right wing nominee had advocated the establishment of a Nazi or fascist dictatorship in America 30 years earlier. Or imagine that he had said that anyone who disagreed with that Nazi or fascist dictatorship should be disappeared. What would the media say then? And yet that is exactly what has happened. The only difference is that both Obama and Elena Kagan are on the other end of the ideological spectrum. The more we learn about Ms. Kagan, the more we understand that she is an extremist whose views are so out of balance that she cannot be allowed to become the next justice of the Supreme Court. I'm Michael Savage, and I warn you, you're about to lose your nation for good unless you stand up and send an email. Kagan has also attacked the First Amendment in other ways. Kagan has also discriminated against the military and barred them from recruiting on campus. She has also done other things, which I have pointed out today on the Savage Nation, and I succinctly put it this way. President Obama has appointed another big sis to be the next justice on the Supreme Court. This time he's picked a real prize. Elena Kagan tried to kick the military off the Harvard campus when she was dean of the law school because of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Just to give you an idea of her orientation on that issue. She took money from Goldman Sachs, just like her boss, Obama. Now the empty skirts in the media are saying that she doesn't have much of a paper trail that would reveal her views on issues. But her senior thesis at Princeton was entitled To the Final Conflict, Socialism in New York City. This woman is a New York City radical Marxist lawyer through and through. She's Lynn Samuels with a new hairdo. This is Dr. Dissident Michael Savage back in a moment.
Savage.
Joining us now with an exclusive update is Robert Scott Bell.
Thanks again, Michael. Always good to be with you and the Savage Nation with a message of liberty unheard anywhere else in the mainstream media but here. And this week, boy, you know, even those people that try to defend the FDA and say they're just trying to help us. They're just trying to save us and protect us. Oh, boy, there's an earful today, Michael, and they're going to have a hard time defending FDA on this. We've been covering this issue of raw milk, right? And not everybody wants raw milk, but lots more people are waking up to realize that's the milk they wrote about in the Bible. And so people are moving back to this idea, the concept that food that's whole and unprocessed and unpasteurized may be actually healthier than that which the FDA says is aseptic. Asept, no life, no microbes at all. You know, of course, failing to acknowledge, as they usually do, that there are more microbes, there are more bacteria in our gut, in the human gut, than there are cells in the human body. But again, they worship at the Church of Biological Mysticism. I call that the germ theory, and Louis Pasteur, with all of his concepts, that it's just the germ, even though he recanted that whole theory on his deathbed and acknowledged Antoine Béchamp, the real genius in France at the time, who acknowledged the role of the terrain, the law of the terrain, the milieu, the environment, that the environment matters, for goodness sake. And real conservatives do care about the environment. You don't have to be a left-leaning earth muffin to like the environment. But of course, the environment in our body is essential for life itself to beget healthy life.
Mm-hmm.
And so this week, we've been covering this story about the attacks on raw milk on the state and also the federal level. Because I don't know if many people are aware that there is a ban in place. The FDA has a ban in place of interstate transport or sale of raw milk. And of course, that's what the founding fathers had in mind when we had this centralized government established, that one day we will protect all Americans from the interstate transport and sale of raw milk. It's all they had back then, raw milk. And in fact, the reality is there's very few incidents associated with, let's say, microbial contamination or overgrowth in raw milk that are reported every year. The vast majority of contaminations and danger that we find was with pasteurized milk. So it isn't even an argument that raw milk is dangerous and pasteurized milk is necessarily safe. And we're, of course, not endorsing the idea of taking milk from a cow and letting it sit out for weeks at a time and then send, again, let's use some common sense here. That's what we can do here on the Savage Nation. The Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund, FTCLDF, this is an organization whose mission includes, listen to this, defending the rights and broadening the freedoms of family farms and protecting consumer access to raw milk and nutrient-dense foods. Any problem there? I don't see any terrorism involved there. It looks like a great group to me. And they filed a lawsuit recently against the FDA for that ban on interstate sales of raw milk. And my good friend Mike Adams from Natural News has really dug deep on this story, and we have found out some shocking, shocking revelations straight from the FDA in this case. And the suit alleges that the restriction is a direct violation of the U.S. Constitution, which is, to me, a moment of duh. Of course it is. But the response to the suit, they're trying to dismiss it, the FDA. And in this dismissal notice issued to the Iowa District Court where the suit was filed, the FDA went public on some things that they don't want you to know about, but I'm going to let you know right here on the Savage Nation. And basically, the FDA says nobody has the right to choose what to eat or drink. Nobody has the right to choose what to eat or drink.
What? Are you kidding?
Like, you're only allowed to eat what the FDA gives you permission, right? FDA permission to drink that? That's fine. Pasteurized juice? Sure. Juice that you make at home? I don't know. Under the food safety bill, are they going to be invading our homes, preventing us from eating organic, unpasteurized, unirradiated broccoli, for instance? But I'm going to quote from this. Page 26 of the FDA response to this lawsuit to dismiss here. There is no deeply rooted historical tradition of unfettered access to foods of all kinds. What is that? Wait, is there a history that I'm not hearing about where there was a tradition of restricting access to food in our American Republic? Now, also, the plaintiffs, and this is I'm quoting now from page 26 again of the FDA response, plaintiffs' assertion of a fundamental right to their own bodily and physical health, which includes what foods they do and do not choose to consume for themselves and their families, is similarly unavailing because plaintiffs do not have a fundamental right to obtain any food they wish. So this is the FDA going on record and looking at Americans and saying, you have no right to choose the food you want to eat. This is food fascism, courtesy of the Federal Death Administration. We don't have any health freedom. The FDA says so. Only that which they grant, like they're the king or the emperor. And of course, now they're very upset about these cow share programs. Michael, I don't know if you heard about the cow share program.
What is that?
It's not a Buddhist tradition or anything. It's very interesting. It's in other words, people have gotten together and figured out, hey, we're not allowed to buy raw milk, but we want it. Let's get together. We'll all collectively buy the cow, right? Everybody has a piece of the cow, and we'll share the milk. And of course, that really has the regulators in a stew because they can't figure out a way to circumnavigate that, because it's not a law against buying a cow and sharing the milk. But in this cow share program, they're looking for ways to work around it. As I said, raw milk safety record is phenomenal, and studies are actually showing that it's less prone to harbor harmful bacteria than the pasteurized, what I would call dead nutrient-dead milk that they actually have to add synthetic vitamin D back into. Whereas the real pasture-fed cows with their the milk that's unpasteurized, it's loaded with vitamin D, which we're hearing all about now, but you don't have to synthesize it in a pharmaceutical lab. Get it from food.
Exactly.
Now, the Massachusetts Department of Agricultural Resources, MDAR, recently sent a cease and desist letter to these buying clubs in Massachusetts, a law that prohibited them from existing even. Again, it's not just a federal issue. Even on the state level, we have food fascism. They don't want people to access food as it's grown, and that can be taken from a small family farmer. The question is, why is that? And then we realize that monopoly concepts exist in the dairy industry as well. You've got big dairy, big agribusiness. They don't like the competition that is growing from the small family farmers that have a few cows. So we have these large industrial agricultural factory farms attacking the small farmers using the power of government and their monopoly protection to destroy the integrity of people like you and me, Michael, and all those out there listening that just want to care for their own health without interference by government. And so they're not satisfied until they have every aspect of our lives covered. Now, on page 27 of this response, this gets even so stunning. Anybody out there who wants to defend the FDA, you have lost it right now. The FDA states this specifically. Americans do not have a fundamental right to enter into private contractual agreements with one another.
No, you're making this up.
I'm not making this up. It's actually in that on page 27 on their move to dismiss the suit. Private contracts aren't even a fundamental right, Michael. The right to life, liberty, and property. The right to contract is a fundamental right that was acknowledged by our founders and established and ordained in the Constitution. The right to contract now no longer exists according to the FDA. Back in 2009, one of our representatives submitted H.R. 778, a bill that would basically reduce or end all restrictions on the interstate trafficking of raw milk. Can you imagine? You've got to pass laws to ban interstate trafficking of raw milk. And so there's a link to H.R. 778 about that. Just another little thing that I think the American people can do. I'll have a link up at the blog and let you know about that. This is the broad and vagueness of these bills. Every little increment you give them, they'll take far, far more. And as I said, the FDA already thinks, in violation of the 10th Amendment that has the ability to regulate intrastate commerce. But we got to get on the horn here and stop Senate Bill 510, because that would specifically grant the FDA that power to just go into any state. You could be just doing something within the state. It's not going outside the state. And they'll come in there and shut you down, Michael. This is the growth of the police state. And it obviously has nothing to do with any war on terror, unless we think Amish and Mennonite farmers and small family farmers, you have a garden out back, you must be part of some terrorist plot to take over America nutritionally. No, if we were a nutritionally sound people, we could not be taken over by any foreign agency or government, much less our own overreaching bureaucracy that has far exceeded the bounds of the constitutional limitations. It was, you know, basically bound down. The chains of the Constitution, as I believe Ben Franklin had referenced before.
Where can we read more?
Well, Michael, as I said, I appreciate the opportunity here to share this message of liberty with the Savage Nation audience. Just let everybody know they can find me on the blog. They can Google Robert Scott Bell or go to robertscottbell.blogspot.com. And let's salvage what little liberty we have left here and nutritional opportunities we have left here before we lose it all.
Thanks for the report, Robert. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
I've talked a lot about the family institution in the United States and the threat we face in the changing makeup of the population in this country by the influx of Muslims and their militant influence on our society. Now, the Christian Action Network has released a new film, Islam Rising, which deals with this problem. Martin Moyer, the director, is here to tell us much about this problem. What inspired you to make this movie?
Well, what inspired us to make this film is that we had heard rumors that Europe is about ready to collapse under the rule of Islam. And we left for Europe last year, spent a month and a half in countries such as England and Brussels and Germany and France and the Netherlands. And we were quite shocked about what we saw, that indeed Islam is about ready to conquer Europe. Then we heard about Geert Wilders' speech that he was going to make in Boca Raton, Florida, and we went and listened to him. Geert Wilders is a parliamentarian out of the Netherlands who lives under a death threat for producing a film called Fitna that helped educate people in Europe about the dangers of radical Islam. We watched that film, we heard his speech, and we thought, this has to be put together for Americans. They need to see what will happen in our country if the same radical seeds of Islam is being sown here that is now being sown in Western Europe.
When did this start becoming a problem?
This is an issue that's probably been going on in Europe for the last 40 years. It started with mass immigration of Muslims that are now allowed to have polygamous marriages and produce a birth rate that's four times higher than the native European population. And they develop in small communities that become larger. And look, in France alone, there are 700 no-go zone areas in which non-Muslims are suggested never to enter. Now, these no-go zone areas, just as in some imagination, these are the actual listed no-go zone areas on the French website that says, do not enter into these areas. And you have to ask yourself a question, is that why would any country allow an Islamic rule to take place in communities that are under their own government and suggest that non-Muslims not enter in? So this has been going on for quite some time throughout Europe. It's very alarming. It's very frightening. In Sweden, they have something called rape jihad among the Muslims, which says basically that non-Muslims are your... And England, they have Sharia courts that allows Muslims to set up their own judicial system. People are being assassinated and threatened with assassination for criticizing Islam in England. This is a very dangerous time over there, and we're beginning to see these same seeds sown here in the United States.
Don't you think this is political correctness gone insane?
You know, political correctness is basically an ideology that liberals say, we don't want you to criticize a certain race, ethnic, religion. This goes much beyond political correctness. These are actually death threats being made by Muslims and also governments that want to arrest you if you criticize Islam. Not because the governments really care that you oppose Islam, but they're so afraid of the Islamic rule in certain communities in their countries, so afraid that they will actually carry out a terrorist attack against the government, that they want to put people in jail for criticizing it. It's much deeper than just plain political correctness.
Well, what's your opinion on the rise of Islam here in the United States?
Well, there's a lot of things going on in the United States that many listeners of yours probably have not heard about. For instance, in the Byron Unified School District in California, children were asked to chant, "Praise be to Allah." They were asked to profess as true that the Holy Quran is God's word. They were asked to wear the Muslim moon and crescent, the crescent star and Muslim moon around their necks to class. These weren't just suggestions. They were required to do this in class. And the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals upheld that requirement for these students. This is shocking. If a Muslim student was asked to chant praise be to Christ or asked to wear the cross around their neck, obviously, we all know the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals would have struck this type of class down. So Americans need to understand this is going on here. In the NYSO school district in Oregon, children were asked to say Muslim prayers. They had to learn the five pillars of the Muslim faith. They had to dress up as Muslims to come to class. This stuff is going on in the United States. We need to wake up.
Are you talking about Muslim schools?
No, these are in public schools, not Muslim schools. They're in public schools. It's shocking. People probably are going to have a difficult time believing this, and so did we when we heard about these cases. In the Byron Unified School District, it so shocked me that some court, any court, could uphold a class that asked students to chant praise be to Allah. I had to go read the court's opinion on this. What possible logic could they be using to say this is a constitutional class? Well, what the court said is that, witchcraft is allowed in the public schools in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals because it is a role-playing game. Therefore, they said, well, these students aren't really being forced to become Muslims, even though they're asked to chant praise be to Allah. They're simply role-playing being Muslims. Well, can you imagine throwing this on a Muslim student and saying, we're not really asking you to become a Christian, we're just asking as a role-playing game for you to wear this cross, to dress up as a Christian, or to chant praise be to Christ.
How are European governments playing into the hands of the Muslim extremists?
When we went to Europe and we asked people there as to why would the state sponsor this type of radical Islamic activity in their country, this is what they told us. That the state governments are afraid of radical Islam. They're afraid that they're going to be attacked. And they have a blind eye, and Muslims know they have a blind eye toward this Islamic law because they don't want to be attacked. We saw sort of that taking place here in New York City where someone placed a car bomb inside of Times Square. How many car bombs will go off in a city before you're now afraid of this type of Islamic retaliation, before you then begin to say, okay, we'll just give you your way? This is what's happening in Europe. They are under the spell of these Islamic terrorist attacks. They're so afraid of them, they want to help the Muslims take control of their communities.
Is this why a lot of people in the Netherlands are now supporting Geert Wilders?
I think, when we went over there and we spent time in the Netherlands, there's many people over there that are opposed to the radical Islamic ideology. The problem is that they will support Geert Wilders, but they're afraid to speak out. Because in Western Europe, you do not have the same free speech rights that we have in the United States. If you dare to speak out against Islam there, you can be arrested for offending that religion. That's why Geert Wilders is under trial right now for his film, Fitna. And that trial will take place in October, but he offended Muslims. And the country of the Netherlands says that is not what we want you to do. It is against our laws, and therefore we will put you in jail for doing so. So people in Europe are afraid to speak out, not only because they might be assassinated for criticizing Islam, but because they could be arrested and they could lose their jobs for doing so.
What percentage of Muslims do you believe are devout?
That's a very good question, because many Muslims are very peaceful and they have no intention to demand Islamic law be placed on non-Muslims. Many of them themselves do not want Islamic law placed on themselves. What happened in Europe is that communities develop, and then radical imams start taking control of those communities, and they force Islamic law on those peaceful Muslims who have no other choice but to abide by it and then become radicalized, because that is the only imams, the only community centers, the only mosques that are setting up in their communities.
What's been the reaction to Geert Wilders' film, Fitna?
The reason why we produced Islam Rising, that includes Fitna, is because many people in the United States have not seen this film. Previously, it had only been an internet-based film. You had to go on the internet and watch it. So if you didn't know it was there, you didn't see it. Our goal as Christian Action Network is to distribute his film, Fitna, and that's inside of our film, Islam Rising, so many, many Americans can see what he has to say about radical Islam. Now, his film is only about 18 minutes long, but what it does, it shows what the Quran says, and then it shows interviews and graphic detailed pictures of what radical Muslims are doing to carry out the instructions of the Quran. It's very enlightening, it's very shocking, and it will give Americans the education they need as to what really is in the Quran and what these Muslims extremists are really about.
Well, how can the West counteract the influence of radical Islam?
Geert Wilders lists a 10-point program as to what he suggests we should do in America so that we do not become Islamicized as Europe is now becoming Islamicized. There's many things in his 10-point program we agree with, some of the things we do not agree with. But some of his suggestions are that Muslims sign a contract when they immigrate to the United States that they will uphold the laws of their country. He wants to limit Muslim immigration into America, into Western Europe. He demands that there be no more mosques created in Western European countries as long as there are no churches being allowed to be built in Muslim countries. He has a list of 10 things. You have to hear what he says. He does a much better job at describing his point than I could ever do here on this interview, and that's why we put it on film.
The Times Square bombing suspect was naturalized as a U.S. citizen and was supposed to abide by the laws of the United States, right?
Yeah, and you know what's also interesting is that he did this based on an Islamic ideology to terrorize. In the eyes of of the peaceful Muslims, is that they are killing anybody to terrorize the United States, even their own countrymen, even their own religion. They do not care who they kill as long as they terrorize you, so to bring you to a point that you will accept their radical Islamic law in your nation.
Where can people get more info on Islam Rising?
To get Islam Rising, just go to our special website that we set up. It's called IslamRising.com. All the information is there about the film and how you can order a copy.
Thanks, Martin Moyer, for being on The Savage Nation.
Thanks, Michael, for having me on the program.
This is The Savage Nation.
Savage.
Will the new British Prime Minister free Savage? Obama's judgmental non-judge. These are both on michaelsavage.com, over 1.7 million unique visitors every month. The question everyone's whispering about Kagan, according to WorldNet Daily, is she gay? We have been told by many that she is gay, that she has a lover at Harvard, and everyone knows it. And no one will ask directly if this is true, and no one in the administration will tell us definitively. Even openly gay people want to know why she's being whitewashed. There's another article up there from the Jewish World Review called The Kagan Whitewash, where she treated two liberal law professors who were caught plagiarizing with kid gloves. Here's another one. Kagan's Supreme Court argument didn't go well. Kid gloves or boxing gloves on Kagan nomination. $1 trillion euro rescue sets up long-term disaster. Why? Because the package did not resolve the basic dysfunction at the heart of Europe's monetary union. governments can still spend recklessly and saddle their partners with the bill, and the bums won't go to work. Here's some good news on Michael Savage. A referendum targeting the new Arizona law on immigrants, the referendums have failed. The law takes effect July 29th unless implementation is blocked by court injunctions, which of course is likely to happen since the judges are almost twins for Kagan, albeit a little thinner. A string of attacks has killed 119 people in Iraq. The violence is breaking out again. As we are pulling out, Iran is pulling in. Take a look at the doll on Michael Savage of a wonderful, nice Muslim gentleman from Pakistan. Nice face on the man. He was detained by airport authorities after electrical circuits and batteries were found in the soles of his tennis shoes. The electric man. From the Israel National News, Obama has lost almost half of his Jewish support. From the Israel National News, left-wing U.S. Jews want Jewish state eliminated. You shocked by that? Beneath that is Healing Children Naturally. I just got 500 new copies, fresh copies, written by a parent and author of 17 books on the subjects of health and nutrition for your children. If you are a parent or a grandparent, Healing Children Naturally is back by popular demand, only available on michaelsavage.com. An old John McShane. Facing heat from the right, McCain gets tough on illegals. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Overwhelmed parents leaving kids at Haiti orphanages. My suggestion, Sean Penn, adopt 1,000 of them since you love Haiti so much. On the bottom of michaelsavage.com, Savage Interview in 3D Playboy. The magazine's June edition hits newsstands Friday in major markets equipped with 3D glasses, and I am in it. I think I'm in it in 1D, but the girls are in it in 3D. It's a major interview. I have no idea whether it's good or bad. I can't wait to read it. That's it for michaelsavage.com. Well, the Prime Minister of England, Gordon Brown, the man who banned Michael Savage and put him on a list with murderers and terrorists, has finally stepped down, and Conservative David Cameron is the new Prime Minister.
I came into politics because I love this country. I think its best days still lie ahead, and I believe deeply in public service. And I think the service our country needs right now is to face up to our really big challenges, to confront our problems, to take difficult decisions, to lead people through those difficult decisions so that together we can reach better times ahead.
Those are great words, but will he take Michael Savage off the ban list? In the meantime, back in America, we're finding more out about Obama's Supreme Court nominee, Ms. Kagan.
During the last year, my long-standing appreciation by upholding the rule of law, long-standing to walk into the highest court in this country, law a lawyer can perform. Great law schools, all of us. Law, I am proud of what all of us accomplished there. Law, long-standing law schools. Law, I've had the simple joy of teaching, all of us. But because law matters. Law, joy, law, all of us, joy, law, all of us, law, joy, law.
The law? You say you love the law? Samuel Johnson said that the law is an ass, and under your jurisdiction that would definitely be the case, and a big one at that. I hope they don't put cameras in the Supreme Court. At least we could be spared that spectacle.
Justice Souter has famously said that cameras would come into the Supreme Court rolling over his dead body. And presumptive Justice Sotomayor seems to have the opposite view. If the members of the Supreme Court ask you whether they should allow C-SPAN to televise their hearings, what would you tell them and why?
If cameras were in the courtroom, the American public would see an amazing and extraordinary event. This court, I think, is so smart and so prepared and so engaged. And everybody who gets up there at the podium is the toughest questions, the most challenging questions are thrown at that person. And there is a debate of really extraordinary intellectual depth and richness. People would say, "Wow, they would see an institution of their government, I think, working at a really high level."
Oh, my God, don't let them do it. Imagine what we'd have to look at. But there are a few voices speaking out against Kagan, aside from Michael Savage.
A number of law schools, Harvard being, a leader when she was there, would not allow the military recruiters to come on to the law school to recruit JAG officers for the military because she didn't agree with the don't ask, don't tell policy that President Clinton had adopted.
Play the clip.
President Obama has indicated that he thinks a judge should consult empathy or the results of a case as the judge decides the matter, and that goes contrary, really, to our historic understanding of the role of a judge. She felt that this was discriminatory, but it was the established policy of the United States, the President Clinton's policy, and she could work to change that, but I don't think it was acceptable. I do not believe it was acceptable for her to say, you can't even come on our campus because I disagree with your policy.
Of course, the usual Chicago hacks are coming out in her defense. This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.